Okay, so 8 o'clock. Okay. All right, so I, do we have a quorum?
Yes, we do.
All right, so good. So I'd like to call the meeting retirement committee to order right now, 8 a.m., August 23rd. Roll call, please.
Roll call, Director Ta.
I'm here.
Director Mendoza. Director Ma'ai.
Here.
Director Yeo.
Here.
Director Rowe.
Here.
Director Green. Director Whitaker. Director Bilodeau. Director Nguyen. Director Sheldon. Jason Dadakis.
Here.
Bischoff Sharma.
Here.
You do have a quorum of your committee.
Thank you so much. Next, we have visitor participation. Do we have any member from the public would like to speak?
I do not see any hands raised.
Thank you so much. So next we have items received too late to be agendized. Do we have any item?
We do not.
Thank you. So next we have consent calendar. May I have a motion?
This is Bischoff. I'll introduce the motion.
This is Jason, I'll second it.
Thank you so much. So we have the motion and the second to approve the consent calendar. Roll call vote, please.
Roll call, Director Ta.
Yes.
Director Ma'ai.
Yes.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Jason Dadakis.
Yes.
Bischoff Sharma.
Yes.
That motion carries with 5 yes votes.
Thank you so much. Next, we have a matter for consideration. Item 241A, money purchase retirement plan investment layup, and 457B, deferred compensation plan red flat fund review. So
thank you. I'll go ahead and just turn it over to Scott Sutherland. Scott, are you going to share your screen, Scott?
I am.
Okay.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning, everybody. Can you see the screen okay?
Yes.
Okay, thanks for taking time. Appreciate the opportunity to speak to all of you today. So we are reviewing all of the investments in the 401A money purchase plan today, and just the red flagged funds or any other funds we wanted to bring to your attention in the 457 plan. So I'm gonna start with minutes from the April meeting. We came into that meeting with no red flags in the 457. We did have 2 red flag funds in the 401A, the Natural Resources Fund, Fellow Advisor Global Commodity Stock, which had been red flagged in earlier January this year, and the MFS Technology, which had been on red flag for more than a year coming into that meeting. To start the previous meeting, as we're doing today, we covered the meeting minutes, and then we did a market and economic review. As far as changes in this meeting, we did not make any changes, no additions or subtractions. In the 457 plan, we did designate a series of red flags. In the foreign large growth, Invesco International has been red flagged. Parametric International Equity and foreign large blend. Hartford mid cap in the mid cap growth category was red flagged. Those are all in the 457 plan. In the 401A plan, we kept the red flag on the commodity fund, the Fellow Advisor Global Commodity Stock, and we actually removed the red flag from MFS Technology. In that meeting, all the other funds met or exceeded their benchmarks. The 457 plan balance was reported as of April 10th of $32,689,000, held by 262 participants. Average account balance pretty robust at $125,000. That meeting, we also talked about officially as of April 1st that Empower had acquired Prudential Retirement, and that deal has officially closed. Empower has let us know that there's a range of times between fourth quarter of this year and fourth quarter of next year that they would be starting to move plans onto their platform. We're actually supposed to hear from Julie within the next week, where she's going to give us a time frame. Julie from Empower. So Empower has pledged to honor the contract, but we have also, as we had talked about before, we have actually issued the RFP for a vendor search that we'll be conducting during the fall and winter of this year. Stephanie, anything you wanted to add to that?
Sorry. No, I don't think so. I think we're good.
Okay. So we also had a discussion in April about the revenue sharing, which is the portions of the expense ratio that go back to cover plan expenses. Of the 66 funds offered in both plans, 21 currently pay no revenue sharing. So the entire cost of the plan is covered by those others. Right now, the dollar weighted average of all that revenue sharing is about 9 basis points and $186,000 per year. The dollar weighted average expense ratio of your plan is now 34 basis points, which is very competitive. And right now there's currently a slight excess revenue of about $5,000 per year. In the past, that might've just gone to Prudential, but is now credited back to the expense account. There were questions in the prior meeting about the guaranteed income rate. Everyone's seen interest rates dramatically higher in 2022. And that interest rate did go up slightly to 1.55%. We are seeing slight increases in interest rates so far, but given the 3.5-year average maturity, the holdings in these guaranteed funds, it always takes a little bit longer for that to show. Just as when rates are falling, they're slower to fall than a typical money market fund might be. So we would expect to start 2023, which would be the next rate reset, and the guaranteed income fund does stay with this plan for now, as long as we're within power, that rate would continue to move higher. Last thing we were asked about is we have this Virtus Alliance Water Fund, which focuses on companies that are in the water industry. Duff & Phelps has since bought this fund out, so they renamed it, still has the same management team, but you're looking at a little bit different situation in terms of the name. We were able to track down a water benchmark. There's really only two funds in this industry. We have one of the two, but we did locate a benchmark that we'll show you today. Any questions about the minutes before we proceed? So we wanted to look at a market overview, second quarter of 2022. So second quarter ended on a pretty sour note. I think that's when there probably was the most fear in the markets about inflation and about a slowdown in the economy caused by the Fed raising interest rates. We have seen in the months of July and the first part of August more of a rally in both stock and bond markets, but these June 30th numbers ended on a pretty sour note. So at the end of the second quarter, the Dow was down 14% for the year, the NASDAQ down 29%. The S&P down 20. At one point last week, the S&P was down only 10 again, so they gained back about half what it's lost, and then we've had another sell-off over the last week. As a theme you've heard from me many times, growth had been outperforming value until we got to this year. Now growth is drastically underperforming value, so growth companies tend to be those that take their profits, put it back into the business to increase revenues. Right now, you're seeing a marketplace where value sensitive, typically more economically sensitive stocks, often ones that pay dividends, are being better performers this year. Everything losing money in the equity category, but growth losing more. Growth also having bigger profits over the last 5 and 10 years. So if you look at Russell 1000, which represents large stocks, a lot of those NASDAQ holdings, which is down 29, the benchmark here for Russell 1000 growth down 28, Russell 1000 value down 13. If you look at mid-sized stocks, growth down 31, value down 16. Look at small stocks, growth down 30, value down 17. Overseas markets haven't escaped the damage either. The EAFE is Europe, Africa, and the Far East down almost 20%, and the emerging markets down about 17%. In most stock market downturns, which are often associated with economic slowdowns, you typically see interest rates fall, which pushes bond prices higher. Not the case here in 2022, as the Fed is drastically raising interest rates and bond markets have reacted negatively to the big inflation numbers. So bonds have had a pretty big loss this year. This would actually be one of the biggest losses in history if it holds through the end of 2022, down 10.3% in the overall aggregate bond index. So when interest rates rise, the prices of the bonds you own that have lower interest rates fall, and that's why you're seeing a drop in bond markets. So if you have a portfolio that's balanced between the two, typically they balance each other out because one goes up while the other goes down. That's what if you look at some of these allocations towards the bottom, you're still seeing double-digit losses in diversified portfolios. If we break down the S&P into its 11 different categories, this is in the bottom right of the chart. Oops. you're looking at in purple is what they did in the second quarter, which really there was no escaping anything in the second quarter, and then what they did year to date. So year to date, of course, the best category, as most people probably are aware, has been the energy category, but it may surprise you to know the energy actually dropped in the second quarter. Overall energy stocks dropped. We did see gasoline peak about 65 days ago, so we've seen that dropping in price. So that's brought down energy stocks to a degree. But overall, pretty much a bloodbath as all categories have been hit pretty hard. Those biggest winners of the last few years, information technology, consumer discretionary, or Amazon stock would fall, and communication services have been the biggest losers this year. All right, so let's try to change to a bit of a happier note and look at the asset allocation here of the 401a plan. So these percentages I'm showing you, what percentages of the total are held in each one of these particular funds. So we give you these Morningstar style boxes where on the right-hand side, you're looking at the growth indexes. And then on the left-hand side, you're looking at value. In the middle, you're looking at blend. So we show you all of the funds in the category, what percentage of the total assets those represent. And at the top of each box, we give you the sum of those different investments in terms of how much they add up to as a percentage of the plan. So a very popular category is in large blend, where you see three different funds. We have the passively managed low-cost Vanguard 500, that's 11% of the plan, active managed Hartford 5.5%, and Parnassus at 1.5% of the plan. So if you look now at the balance between growth and value, we've often seen kind of an overweight towards growth, but I'm excited to see a lot of your participants have taken our advice to even out their balances between the two. So you're seeing that large value at 5.2% and large cap growth at 5.2%. So we offer both an active and an index fund on large growth. We have two active managers over there on large value. Going down into the mid-size categories, in the blend category, we offer an index fund for both the mid-cap index from Principal, the small-cap index from Columbia, and then we also offer actively managed funds in each one of those categories. On the far right are your growth. So we have JP Morgan and Mass Mutual as your mid-cap growth offerings, Neuberger Berman as small-cap growth on the left. We use two different Victory funds that specialize in value stocks, Victory Sycamore, established value and small company, and then fairly low price stock, which has been with the plan for more than 25 years. Below that is going to be your non-domestic equities. So you have international on the left, which includes no U.S. companies, and then global on the right, which includes about 40% U.S. stocks, 60% overseas companies. Emerging markets, which haven't done a lot for the last decade or so, that's going to be China, India, Russia, Brazil, Mexico, about 0.75%. Below that, we have our target date funds. So if you're enrolling in the plan, you don't not make an investment selection, we automatically enroll you into the age appropriate target date fund, which is going to diversify your investments based on your age, rebalance it every quarter. And then as you get closer to retirement, start to reduce that risk as you get closer to using the money. You'll see our one fund in red, which is our red flag fund. It's going to be funny that it's in red because it turns out it's the best fund in the plans this year, and it's actually outperforming its benchmark now. So the red flag process looks to be successful because we can keep that in the plan. Three other specialty funds, technology on the bottom right, which is the big winner of the last decade, but suffering this year. On the left, the specialty in precious metals and real estate. So on the second page, page 25, we're looking at the categories of what's in the guaranteed income fund. So about 39% of the overall plan is in safety, earning the rate of interest we mentioned before. So that's just protected funds that don't have any risk. And then we do have a little bit of money in the bond funds, not much. Most of your investors are using the guaranteed fund for safety, but the bond index fund is 2%. The inflation protected securities, which are treasury bonds set to benefit from higher inflation, is about 0.5%. And then a traditional diversified government and corporate bond fund from American funds is about 0.33%. I'll take a brief pause there. Any questions up to now from the group? Okay, so this is what we call our asset diversification page. So we're listing all the investments from highest risk to lowest risk. Left to right, we number them for reference, the Morningstar style, the name, the symbols they trade under. These are the assets that are in each one of the funds as of August 4th. So we're giving you the balances held in there. And then again, the same percentages you saw on the previous page are listed here to reference what percentage of the total plan balance are there. And then in bold, we're giving you how many participants, current or former employees, that have money in each one of these funds. So you can kind of see where the popular funds are. And then to the far right, we're looking at our net expense ratios of our funds versus the category averages. So you get a pretty good feel for how ours are very competitive on an expense standpoint. So this is funds 1 through 17. This page goes 18 through 35, where now you're looking at more of a mix in terms of large stocks and the non to the target dates, the bonds, and the Prudential Guaranteed Income Fund. So balance as of the beginning of August, $156 million is in the plan. We currently have 54 loans outstanding. These are balances taken from participant accounts for their benefit that are being paid back through payroll. So 54 loans outstanding, $1.1 million. And overall, this plan holds 343 participants. As a reminder, we show you here in green the five biggest holdings. There weren't any on the first page. But the second page, of course, shows the guaranteed fund at number one, the Vanguard 500 at number two, number three is Hartford, number four is T. Rowe, and then Putnam Large Value, number five. So big holdings in those more moderate large company stock funds where both conservative and aggressive investors might have some holdings. So this is Prudential now Empower's fee disclosure. So this shows you the expense ratios of all the funds that you have. Again, same numbers you saw on the previous page. They multiply those balances times the expense ratio to give you the annualized cost. So you have that referenced here. And then of course they break down what percentage of any of those expense ratios go to revenue sharing. Again, revenue sharing, paying the plan expenses for both Empower and for my team. So you can see left to right, Putnam Large Cap Value, we're using the Y share class. There's 6 million in there. That's the fifth largest holding. It's 3% of the overall plan. Expense ratio is 63 basis points. On $6 million, that's $37,000 a year of that portion. 10 basis points is a sub-accounting fee. 15 is additional costs attributed to record keeping. So they share of that 63, they share 25 back with the plan, which is $15,000 per year. So all the funds are listed here on page one of this section, page 28 of your books, continues on to page 29. You can see this totals down towards the bottom at roughly rounding at 10 basis points, 171,000 overall. Of that 10 basis points, 6 basis points goes to our team and 3 basis points goes to Prudential. The 4 basis points listed shows you that surplus I mentioned before that goes into the expense account. All right, any questions on the disclosure?
All right. Any other question? Okay.
I'm sorry.
Continue, please.
Thank you, Director. So now we get to dig into looking at the investment performance. This is our example. Is there anybody on the call that hasn't seen Zephyr before that would like me to take you through this, or should I proceed into the first investment? Okay, so these are items for review in the 401(a) plan. So we're isolating funds that we think the committee's attention is needed to review. And we're starting here within the natural resources category. So the PhilAdvisor Global Commodity Stock Fund is 1.25% of the overall plan. It does have 66 participants in it. This is on the red flag list from January of this year based on how it did in 2021. The top chart is the last 3 years, the middle chart's the last 5 years. And you can see now this fund is outperforming its benchmark by about 4 percentage points the last 3 years. It's outperforming it by 5.5 percentage points and on an average the last 5 years. And you can see that a lot of it has to do with 2022, where the fund is up 6 or 7% and the category is down about 10%. So they've done a really nice job of outperforming, of missing some of the downside and catching a lot of the upside this year. There's not much upside out there this year, but this fund caught it. On the style boxes here, you can see its performance. matches up with the style itself, which is in natural resources. Most of it is considered mid-sized value stocks. So this is a 3 and 5 year chart. Now we're looking at a 6 and 12 month chart. And they're really kind of blowing the numbers away at this point, where they're outperforming by 17 percentage points over the last 6 months, which is really all of 2022 that's listed on this page. So we have listed alternative funds to consider, which are listed in green, but really my strong recommendation to the committee would just be to remove the red flag from this fund. It's doing exactly what we'd hope it would do. I wouldn't be surprised if someday again it visits the red flag list, because this is not a category where everybody owns the same investments. There is a wider world to pick from, but they're doing a really nice job now. So my first recommendation would be to remove the red flag on this fund.
Yeah, this is Jason. Scott, I can concur with your recommendation. If I might suggest to Chair Tom the committee, I think given we have a number of these that we're likely gonna have to make these type of decisions on. I know in the past we've sometimes had either the board secretary or one of Scott's staff kind of keep running tally, as opposed to voting on every single one and then reviewing the changes at the end and doing them in a single motion. I might suggest that might be an efficient way to work through these.
Yeah, that sounds good. Thanks, Jason.
All right.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Jason, for the input. So we'll move forward here. This is a fund that has been removed from the red flag list, but we just wanted to bring it to your attention for its overall performance. It's kind of been borderline for a bit. But it is slightly underperforming on the 3 year chart. If you look at the 5 year chart, it's right where we want it to be, which is outperforming with less risk. So the longer term has been very good with this manager. They're actually beating their benchmark by 2 full percentage points. But really, what's hurting this fund is 2020, not recent performance. 2021 is okay. 2022, they've actually played defense better. Still a big loss, but far less than the benchmark. So we're pointing this out to you, but we're not necessarily recommending any action. This is a 6 month chart and a 12 month chart. So you can see it is outperforming over the last year. So somebody might argue the case here with this particular fund, but as you start rolling 2020 off, the fund actually looks pretty good otherwise, where it's either tied or beat the benchmark in every other year. 2020 was a huge up year for technology, where the riskiest of the risky were the big winners. So being more of a moderate choice, they didn't quite catch all that, but they still delivered over 46% performance. So I don't have a recommendation here, but in case people are uncomfortable with the 3 year performance, you could potentially red flag that again. Anybody see the need for that?
Not at this time.
All right, so we will move forward. Still sticking with the 401a plan here. So here we have two investment choices. We show you the both. We don't have a concern with the JP Morgan fund, but we did want to at least put it on the page so you know what the alternative to the fund we do have a concern with. That is the Mass Mutual Mid-Cap Growth. So no flags on these funds. We're just bringing this to your attention for potential flagging. JP Morgan is definitely the more aggressive choice of the two, and it's had a bigger loss in 2022, as you might expect, but it's working off a bigger cushion from better performance in 2019 and in 2020. So don't take any issue with the fund, particularly now. It could actually look more difficult a year from now as some of those good years start to roll off the performance. But we did want to take issue with Mass Mutual, where you see it underperforming by a few percentage points. They beat the market in 2020, but not in 21 or in 22. So recent performance is listed here, where you do actually see a bigger loss from JP Morgan than Mass Mutual. But again, JP Morgan, being a more aggressive fund, had bigger gains earlier in the timeframe to work off during this downturn. So this is a 6 month chart, and this is the 12 month chart. So we do have alternatives to consider, but we thought at this point, our recommendation would be that Mass Mutual probably needs to be red flagged. Now it's close, so some people could argue against it. It's still exceeding the benchmark on the 5-year, but we've got 2 years in a row that haven't been great, and they weren't the fund that had the big gains during the big years.
I'd be good with red flagging Mass Mutual.
I agree. Let's see.
Okay, so sounds like we're going to have a red flag there to be voted on in a moment. And then some alternatives to consider there. The last fund on the 401A items for attention is the inflation-protected bond. Now, in this particular category, there is no credit risk. All of the bonds are guaranteed by the U.S. Treasury. So really, the quality of the fund management is, in essence, controlling the duration of the fund. So being in line with the bond market, when interest rates are rising and bond prices are falling, they're better off having a lower duration than the benchmark. The opposite is true when interest rates are falling and prices are rising. So the fund has showed a little bit more risk than the benchmark with a little bit less performance. Now, please note the scale along the left-hand side. We're going from 3.5% to zero on both of these charts. So we always, our eyes get used to that gap between the two, or we're maybe talking about 0.33% in terms of underperformance. That biggest gap, of course, is in 2022. It had been a pretty good fund the previous 4 years. So this is a 6-month chart and a 12-month chart, illustrating what you're seeing on that bottom left chart. So Morningstar still gives them 3 stars, but only neutral for their rating, their qualitative rating, and the new manager has only been there for 2 years. So I think this one probably would be best if it was flagged as well. Now I'll show you the alternatives, even though I'm not recommending a change. You'll see it's not all that different from the alternative funds, but I think to stick to our process, it probably should be flagged.
Thank you, Scott. Yeah, let's flag this item.
You both have a different opinion or agree with that?
Yeah, we agree with it. I agree with it.
Okay.
Concur as well.
Okay, thank you, everybody. So that concludes the 401A. Jason, do we want to go through the 457 before we vote?
All right, so do we need a motion for this recommendation?
Yeah, well, I think it'd be good to go ahead and not get too big a list, maybe just do the 401A and the 457 one separate. So,
okay, got it.
Okay, so it would be red flagging or removing the red flag on the affiliate global commodity, no action on MFS technology, red flagging Mass Mutual mid-cap growth, and Goldman Sachs inflation protected.
I'll make a motion to make those changes.
I'll second.
All right. We have the motion on the second floor as recommended. Roll call vote, please.
Roll call, Director Ta.
Yes.
Director Ma'ai.
Yes.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Jason Dadakis.
Aye.
Bischoff Sharma.
Yes.
That motion carries with 5 yes votes.
All right. Continue, please.
Thank you, everybody. All right, so now we're looking at the 457. We're bringing items to review for your attention. We'll start with the Virtus stuff in Phelps, used to be the Allianz Water Fund. So we have located a benchmark, the S&P Global Water Index, which is what this yellow diamond is. So you'll see that our fund is slightly underperforming that benchmark. Now looking at the holdings of that benchmark, it tends to be a bit more large cap than our holdings, but we're slightly underperforming that. So the other benchmark on this page is natural resources, which natural resources are a pretty broad category. These days, the biggest part of that benchmark is energy. And as you all know, energy's had a pretty good year overall. So in a year like this, the fund's going to look pretty poor. But there's other things in there like copper, gold, other things that would be considered natural resources. So this is a 3- and 5-year chart. This is a 6- and 12-month chart. Our fund looks a little bit better on the shorter term performance overall. So I've shown you, want to show you alternatives. This is the only other fund that does what this fund does, which is focus on the water industry. So I think that if we are going to use the water industry at all, we need to use one of these two funds. And I would argue that the current fund we have does have quite a bit lower expense ratio than the alternative, also a longer tenured manager. Performance-wise, Virtus has done better on the five-year. It's kind of an even match on the three-year. So I don't want to say there's nothing we can do, but I'm not sure what the alternative would be if we're unhappy with what we're seeing here on page 80 with the performance. And Virtus has put a new manager in place, so we'll have to see how that performance ends up bearing out as the team gets more comfortable with the fund. So I think my official recommendation would be no action, but we're just showing this to you. But if there's anybody that feels like maybe this is not a category we want to offer, that would probably be another potential discussion. But I would say we just want to leave well enough alone.
How many people are participating in this one?
This has 18 people in it in the 457 plan.
Scott, is it possible within the Zephyr software that creates these plots to actually use the S&P Global Water Index to draw the capital markets line instead of the Morningstar Natural Resources?
Anee, we could use that, right? That was one of the ones you could pull down.
Yes, we could pull that down, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that could be, you know, that could be the decision going forward, Jason, just to make that the benchmark, because they're certainly closer. If you look at the individual years, the black bar versus our fund, it's not even close. So I think we're better off having a closer benchmark, but we will need to update the investment policy statement to reflect that, which is probably what we should do. So.
Yeah, it's just a more accurate benchmark as you've shown here. So maybe that's something we make that change in the investment policy statement at our next meeting. Okay. And then we start seeing this fund, you know, plotted accordingly.
I like that.
And just one follow-up. Does anyone, even outside of maybe our current Empower platform, Scott, can you buy the index? Does anyone offer that? Like, I just want to buy the S&P Global Water Index Fund, or is there something very comparable that's a pure index play?
I have not seen that yet. So, okay. But we'll take a look. We'll do a search, see if the index fund's available. But I think these are the only two we could find that came up in this category. Anee, did you see anything else that I wasn't aware of?
No, this was it for the water funds.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think the assets in this category are very substantial. So our fund has 800 million in it and the competing fund has 500 million in it. So there may not be enough dollars there to interest an index fund, but we'll find out for sure.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so leaving things as they are with this as an option and exploring changing the benchmark in our next meeting. Okay, so not a red flag fund, but in emerging markets, we did place a gray flag on it, which means we're going to review it every quarter, not an item noted in the minutes. But we do have the JP Morgan Emerging Markets Equity Fund, which had been a very good fund for many years. Some nice performance in 2019, 2020. But as the categories have cooled off, a fund that has focused a little bit more on smaller companies, a little bit more on growth, is definitely struggling as those two sectors are struggling. So you can see 2021 underperforming, 2022 underperforming the benchmark. Now everybody down in 22, but our fund down more, unfortunately. Now in a five-year chart, we're still seeing excess performance on the basis of 2019 and 2020, but now just getting under the benchmark in terms of performance. Notice the scale is pretty compressed here on the top chart from 0.6% to minus 0.2. So we can see we're about 0.2% below the benchmark here. On the three-year chart, we're still about 2.5% above on the five. So page 87 here shows the six-month chart and the 12-month chart, which is illustrating that underperformance there. So we do have other alternatives to consider, which I can certainly make a case for those other ones to consider. But Morningstar still gives our fund 4 stars in silver, which is a pretty hefty rating. 16 years on the management team. They're in the top 20% over the last 10 years versus their peers. They're in the top 17% versus their peers the last 5 years. I would imagine if this category does well again, JP Morgan is going to probably exceed the benchmark. And if the category does poorly, they're probably going to underperform. So predicting the future is difficult. But in this case, I think it's just a fund that tends to capture a little bit more of the up and downside. And of course, we have this chart, which reflects that, which shows several of these funds in that boat. But certainly JP Morgan giving you about 123% of the good times and maybe 107% of the downtimes. So I recommend today that it should be flagged just on what we're seeing based on recent performance. But truly, it's a participation in our plan is going to depend on how this category does overall more than how this fund does. If the category is up, I think the fund will look fine. If not, it won't. So that's one risk to red flagging it.
Yeah, I think we should red flag it.
Agree.
I also agree.
Okay, and then I'll start a 12-month clock in terms of its performance. Okay, the next three funds we're covering are on the red flag list, so they've started their clock to getting better. We have the Invesco International Diversification Fund. So we're looking at a 3-year chart here at the top. It was red flagged 90 days ago or 3 or 4 months ago now. The benchmark has made about 1.75% return on average the last 3 years. This fund has lost about 0.5% over that time frame. You also notice that it's underperforming on the 5-year chart, which I think is always a dangerous item. Performance where it did well was 2019 and 2020. You've heard me say that several times today about certain funds. And in 2021, underperforming, 2022 has been pretty difficult. Now, this is a fund of funds. Let me jump forward to the Morningstar. The holdings in this fund are 4 Invesco funds. So it creates a portfolio out of different funds. It tends to be more aggressive than the typical foreign large growth fund because it has a pretty big sleeve in small and mid-sized stocks. That's 27%. It also has emerging markets as a pretty big sleeve, about 27%. So when things are good, the fund looks great because they do take more risk. But when things are difficult, it has been pretty difficult. As you can see at the top, Morningstar still gives them 3 stars and a bronze rating, but they've been very middle of the pack on their overall numbers now. So now I'm switching back to 3 and 5 year. We'll take you into 6 and 12 month. And you can see it's in that danger zone, which underperforming with more risk. Now, often with we have a fund on our first red flag review, we give it a little bit more time, but what we're seeing, I just don't think this fund is a fit. It doesn't seem to match up from a benchmark standpoint. And even though Morningstar still categorizes as foreign large growth, it feels like a foreign mid-growth or foreign small growth fund to me. So we have the opportunity to review these alternatives in green. Each of these funds listed here is giving you the expense ratio of the fund. It's also giving you the tenure of the manager team. And then below that on the 5-year legend, it's telling you how much of that expense ratio is shared in revenue sharing. So a lot of funds here to consider. You probably might be surprised, but the two I would focus in on would be the BNY Mellon International Stock Fund, which is this cross right here, and the MFS International Growth Fund, which is the one right above it. Having done a lot of research on these alternatives yesterday, I feel best personally about the MFS fund. I'll tell you more about that in just a second, but looking good on the 3 and 5 year charts, seeming to be in a good place in terms of its style. Looking good here on the upside downside capture, which gives you most of the upside of the benchmark without as much downside. If you want a more conservative approach, nothing wrong with the BNY Mellon Fund, which is not capturing as much upside, but is the most defensive of the options. If you look longer term here, our fund unfortunately has dropped down into the fourth quartile, into the red there on the 3-year the four-year, and the five-year. So I believe it's time to make a change. Now, someone's going to look at this chart and fall in love with the Calamos International growth. Certainly can't blame you based on those numbers. Calamos had a remarkable 2020 where it kind of doubled everyone else's performance, but you might notice that in 2021, 2022, it's really struggled, kind of like some of the other funds we've talked about. And then just as a personal observation, having done what I do for a long period of time, every time I've ever put a Calamos fund in the plan, it has burned me. So I'm not a recommender of Calamos funds ever, even though you're seeing some pretty good numbers on this page. I prefer the consistency of these other two that I've mentioned. So I'm getting ahead of us a little bit, but my strong recommendation would be to replace Invesco, and then I would choose from MFS or BNY Mellon as those replacements.
Got it. It seems like you think the Calamos is living off of its 2020 performance.
So I think when high multiple, low profit growth was the big winner, when technology stocks were the beneficiary of the COVID shutdown, it did really well then and just hasn't done as well since. So,
okay. Of the two you identified, I maybe have a slight preference for the MFS given its slightly lower expense ratio and a little better upside capture.
I agree.
Yeah, and looking at the ratings, Morningstar gives MFS a 4-star in silver. BNY Mellon is also 4-star in silver, but MFS gets above average ratings for their team, for their parent company, and for their investment process. BNY Mellon gets a little higher rating for its team, but it has a lower rating for its parent company. Sometimes when we study these funds, you find funds that you kind of feel okay about, and then some funds you're excited about. I'm excited about MFS growth. I think that would be a solution. So.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay, so our recommendation would be to remove Invesco International Diversified and replace it with MFS International Growth.
Yes.
Okay, so two more red flags, everybody. Thanks for hanging with me. So we covered foreign large growth. Now we're looking at foreign large blends. We use the Parametric International Fund. It is actively managed, but has a low expense ratio for an active manager at 50 basis points. It did have to be put on the red flag list in the last meeting. And that was really on the basis of 2021. You can see it's underperforming. Note the scale here is from 1.6% to zero. So it's underperforming by basically about 0.25%. The five-year chart is snug up against the benchmark. And interesting, because we haven't seen a lot of these today, but this is a fund that is performing better in 2022. Yes, it's still a double-digit loss, but it's doing better than its benchmark this year. Really struggling from 2021 is an underperforming year in 2019. Now I'm looking at a 6 and 12 month chart. The 6 month, it's actually slightly beating the benchmark with less risk. The 12 months slightly underperforming with less risk. So as we normally do, I think this fund, given its expense ratio is attractive versus its peers, I think we give it a little bit more time. I'll also note that the other alternatives, which we can cover in just a moment, that it's the best performer here in 2022. So I don't know that making a change at the moment would make sense, but I do think this fund needs to stay on the red flag list.
Yeah, let's keep it red flag.
That works for me.
Okay, thank you, everybody. All right, mid-cap growth. We have two choices here. Janus Enterprise is an interesting study in fund evaluation for our committee because for a while, it looked pretty questionable. It wasn't participating in the big rallies that we saw in 2020 and 2021. And then 2022 came along and they're performing as well as anybody. This is not a fund in question, but we are showing you it on the same category as the Hartford Fund, which is on the red flag list. So Janus Enterprise is now outperforming its benchmark. It's doing so with less risk. It's now earned a 5-star rating. and Silver from Morningstar. So sometimes good management teams are out of sync with the market, but then the market gets back in sync with them, and that's certainly been the case there. What we're concerned about, however, is Hartford Midcap, which you can see that is the fund in blue, had a good 2019, a good 2020, but then struggling in 2021 and in 2022. So the five-year you could still make a case for is snug with the benchmark, but the recent performance is underperforming by about 400 basis points or 4 full percentage points. So newly to the red flag list, you could give this one a bit more time, but let's look at recent performance. This is a six-month chart. You can see the Janus outperformance we talked about. Hartford is less risk, but slightly underperforming. On the six-month, the 12-month is underperforming by a pretty good chunk. So they've had a bit of a rough run. Manager team has been with the fund for a while, so it's not really an issue with that, but it is a question in terms of recent performance. So this one I think is a little more debatable. Do we want to make a change or do we want to give it a little bit more time? If you can see on this chart on page 122, Janus being the top performer in the top 5% on the year-to-date, 1 year, and in the top quartile for the 2 year. But if you look longer term, Hartford is drifting down to that third and fourth quartile in the 3 year, 4 year, and the 5 year. They're not so bad on the 1 year, so that should be noted. Some of the other alternatives aren't great during that time frame. Janus is certainly the best option there. So I'm happy to cover these alternatives. I have a couple funds that I would recommend, but I'd like to put it out to see what the interest level is on replacing it, or perhaps offering Hartford another 90 days to see if they can improve. Still a 3-star rated and silver fund.
Scott, could you go back to the 3 and 5 year? Sure. Just any sense on given where it is on the 3 year? And, you know, just a sense of the markets that does it have a chance to recover?
I would say it has a chance. A little surprising that they haven't done better this year, I have to say. From what I know about the fund, the conversations I have with Hartford, I mean, they're supposed to be a fund that looks good in an environment like this. Just unfortunately, they haven't. So, I mean, if you see how defensive Janus is, which is pretty extreme, Hartford still is defensive compared to the benchmark, but some of the other funds have done a better job than they have on the defensive side. So I didn't have much hope Invesco Diversified could make it back, but I would say Hartford has a chance. I certainly wouldn't make a big bet on it, but I think the coin flip could certainly benefit from 90 days.
And you were saying all the alternatives kind of listed on the lower left year to date are doing as poorly, if not worse, than.
That's right. So they had better cushions from big wins in 2019 and 2020, but they're all underperforming our two choices year to date. So I don't know. And eventually, of course, that can turn at any point, but I don't know that switching to one of those over the short term is really the right thing to do. Now, the interesting thing about the third quarter of this year, which is not shown on your screen, is we've had a rally in July and the first part of August, and then a sell-off here in August. It's more of a mixed quarter. And sometimes those kind of really bring the stock pickers to the cream to the top. So it might be worthwhile to see what we get in October if we give this fund a bit more time, but it certainly has to stay on the red flag.
Okay, I'm comfortable maintaining the red flag for another quarter and seeing what happens.
Anybody in disagreement with Jason's thought? Okay, thank you. Let's put it back to chair to take a vote on the 457 items for review. That would be that the Duff and Phelps Water Fund is still a keep, but we're going to look into changing the benchmark on both the investment policy statement and on the Zephyr reports. We will red flag JP Morgan Emerging Markets. We replace Invesco International Diversified with MFS International Growth, and we'll keep the red flags on Parametric International Equity in Hartford Midcap.
I'll go ahead and make a motion to for those actions.
All right, each second?
I'll second the motion from Director Yeh.
Thank you so much. So we have the motion and a second on the floor. Roll call vote, please.
Roll call, Director Todd?
Yes.
Director Mendoza? Director Ma'ai?
Yes.
Director Yeh?
Yes.
Jason Dadakis?
Yes.
Bischoff Sharma?
Yes.
Motion carries at 5 yes votes.
Okay, so the action item here would be items for consent. Is there anybody that had an issue with any of the items for consent?
Any question? Okay, so
and then I did want to show you, unfortunately, our report to Stephanie had an older version of the target date analysis in there, so we will correct that. But did want to show you the performance of your target date funds. We used the American Funds target date funds. And the way this Compass report ranks a fund is they go against all of their peers for a year to date, a 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year, and 15 year period. They list the performance here in red or black based on gains or losses. The benchmark is in bold, which is an S&P 500 benchmark. And then now they've taken to putting the percentage rank in the category in these boxes and either color coding it for us. So we know right away what's doing well, what's doing poorly. If it's in red, it's in the bottom quartile. If it's in green, it's in the top quartile. And you can see consistently, this is the 2010, 2015, 2020, 25, 2030. So the shorter term, closer to retirement options, and American Funds is beating just about everybody on every metric. We switch out a little further in time. The short-term performance has been a bit rockier for some of the higher risk funds where they've struggled as the markets come down. Being aggressive in certain areas is struggling this year, but you're still looking at 3 year, 5 year, 10 year numbers that are pretty impressive. So all of that is in items for consent. We don't have any recommendations for changes there unless anybody else had an issue.
No.
All right, anyone have any question? If not, do we need a motion or no?
I don't believe so, Chair Todd, since we're not making any changes.
Okay. Anything else about this item?
No, Chair, that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
So thank you so much for that. Really appreciate your time. All right, so our next item, we have informational item, Prudential Quarterly Retirement and Deferred Compensation Plan Performance Incentive Review.
All the information is contained in the packet.
Thank you. Next, our Guarantee Income Fund Interest Rate.
Again, the information's in the packet that the interest rate on the gift is 1.6%. I don't know, Scott, if you have any comments about that at all.
I do. I mean, there tends to be a little bit more of a conservative fund. I think that rate's a little bit low. I was disappointed they didn't bring it up more on this review. I mean, I would expect that they would do so in the first half of 2023. But if they didn't there, then I really think that they're not being as fair with the rate as they should be. So, and I'm sure that we'll uncover during the RFP process what other vendors are paying right now. So.
All right, thank you so much for that. So I like to agendize all the items to be on a consent calendar at September 7th board meeting. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay. Any announcement report from any board member? All right, I see none. So with that, our meeting adjourned. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Scott.